Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. My name's Jeremy, and if you don't know, maybe if you're new or visiting, this is my second to last Sunday here, and so you get to hear my last sermon for now at Holy Cross. And so as I was preparing this sermon this week, I ran into some challenges. How does one preach their last sermon? I've only had to do that once, so this is my second shot at this. And how do I share with you some more about our mission to Montana while also doing justice to the scripture here in our lectionary this Sunday, this third Sunday in Lent? And so, as I prepared and prayed about this, I decided that I wouldn't try to do too much. I wasn't going to try to shoehorn information about our mission into this text today from John 4. Now, perhaps if I were a more skilled preacher, I could do that, how we're all called to be like the woman at the well and use our testimony as a powerful witness to our own people. I could tell you that that's what we're going to do, and I suppose we are. But I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I want to spend a few minutes telling you about our mission to Montana and the ways that you can be a part of it. And then we'll sort of pivot and take a direct look at John chapter 4. And that way we can finish with our eyes focused with Jesus and on his word. So many of you have asked me, why Montana of all places? What's the connection? Don't you know it gets cold and very snowy up there? Yes, I do know that. I actually love the snow. I love the winter season. I think it's beautiful, even if it can be a little bit too long up there. But to get to the main question, why Polson, Montana? Well, we're going to Polson, Montana for one main reason, and that's because God has clearly called us there. Now, Polson isn't altogether unknown to our family. It's where my mom grew up. It's where I spent my childhood summers. It's where Nicole and I lived when we were first married, before we came here to Loganville. And it's a place where many in the ministry, including myself, have found rest and healing. And to put it simply, it's a place and a people which God has given to us, told us to go and share the love of Jesus with. Now, Polson, which is a town of about 5,000 or so people, sits on the Flathead Indian Reservation. And this is actually a very diverse place. It's majority non-Native Americans. And there are real challenges that come with that context. The poverty rate on the reservation there is actually about twice as much as the poverty rate throughout Montana. There's high unemployment and high substance abuse rates. It's a place of profound beauty with beautiful mountains and valley and a beautiful lake, but also of profound darkness. Less than one-third of the county we're going to has any faith affiliation at all. Less than one-third. And so the need is great. And the opportunity is great. The fields are ripe for harvest. And so that's why we're going as missionaries. We're being sent by Holy Cross in partnership with the Anglican Diocese out there, beautifully named the Yellowstone Missionary District. And we're going there to share the love of Jesus with those who live on and visit the Flathead Indian Reservation. So that's where we're going, and why we're going. Now, how are we going? Well, we're going as missionaries. And one of the things that typically defines a missionary is that they're supported by outside partners. And it's the missionary's job to go do the work, to be on the ground, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a particular place amongst a particular people. And it's the outside supporter's job to pray and financially give to the missionary's work. And so that's why we're going to be spending, actually, the next couple of months meeting with many friends and family to share the vision of the mission that God has given us and to ask them to support us in that mission. And so, even though next Sunday is my last Sunday here on staff, we'll be around in the area for a couple of months as we do this fundraising work before we move in June. And I hope, likely, you'll see us a few Sundays between now and then. Now, I've had many people ask, well, how can we help? What can we do? Well, the two biggest needs, you might guess right now, around launching this mission is to, number one, to have people regularly and diligently praying for us, praying for our protection as we go, and that God would go before us to open doors for us, to put people in our path to share the love of Jesus with. And the second need is, of course, financial support. We're working right now to raise up supporters and partners to partner with us in this mission. And it's only through the generosity of others that we can go, that we can be sent as missionaries. Now, both of these needs are real, and they both have a tremendous kingdom impact. And so I'll just close with this section with this. If you do feel compelled to learn more, to be on our prayer team or our support team, then please do reach out. You can sign up for our newsletter or reach out to me directly for how you can come on board as a financial supporter. And of course, we'll be around for the next couple of months. So if you'd like to meet one-on-one, I would love to do that with you. There's more information on the back of your bulletin and a flyer out in the narthex. All right, so with that, let's look at John chapter 4, and before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You, Jesus, you have the words of life. And so we pray this morning that you will fill us with your living water, that you will give us each the courage to seek after you and to find you, and to share your love with a lost and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. So now turning to our gospel this morning, John chapter 4, we see here a woman, whether she knows it or not, who is on a mission. She's a person who needs forgiveness and a new way of life. She's on a search for meaning and purpose. And in many ways, this woman is just like all of us. Now, her story might be particular, but she's just like you and me. She's looking for purpose and direction in her life. She's looking for the truth. And she keeps trying to fill her life with things that only leave her thirstier than before, feeling emptier than before, feeling shamed and unloved, just like we also often do in our own ways. Her life, we can imagine, has been full of hardship and hurt, full of broken relationships, of probably tremendous love and tremendous loss. But then one day she's going to get water at the well, probably like she does every other day of her life. But on this day, something unexpected happens. She meets someone. Now, not just anyone, but Jesus the Christ. In a place and time where she probably least expected it, in the middle of an ordinary activity, in the middle of the day, in the middle of her shame and wandering and sin, she meets the Savior of the world. And he is ready to share his mercy with her. Now, she doesn't know who he is when she first meets him and sees him and talks with him. But she meets him, and he shows her how all of her searching, all of her wandering, all of her attempts at finding fulfillment and meaning have only brought her more hurt and pain. And the woman, for a moment at least, misses who he is, misses who is standing right in front of her. And she tries to avoid the conversation, the deeper conversation, by bringing up this confusion and disagreement behind where each, the Jews and the Samaritans, believe is the right place to worship. But then she sees, in that moment, that she had met the person she was looking for all along. As she does something normal, as she tries to meet her most basic physical need for water, Jesus offers her something much, much better. Something that will endure. Something that will remain. Living water. Not stagnant water. Not moldy or stale water. But living water. Water that bubbles up inside you, that springs forth in purity. Water that is pure and clean and nourishing. Life-giving water. Water that will never leave you thirsty again. Water that will quench your deepest thirst for meaning and purpose. Water that brings life and life abundant. Because the truth is, if we're being honest, is that we're all searching, aren't we? It's not just the woman at the well who has this amazing story, shocking story. It's not just the seeker on the outside looking in. It's not just the pilgrim on the road. It's each one of us. And Jesus meets us right where we are, just like he met the woman at the well, right where she was. He doesn't shame us or tell us that there's no hope for us or tell us that we've gone too far. Jesus doesn't say that we need to save ourselves because, of course, we can't save ourselves. Instead, he offers us a chance to drink from this living water. To find a new way of living, a true way of living, the true way of living. And I don't know about you, but in the middle of everything going on in the world today, in the middle of everything going on in my life, in my family's life, in the life of this church, this is good news. It is good news that, like the woman at the well, we can meet Jesus right here and that he offers us himself. He pours himself out for us. He offers us forgiveness and mercy. He shows us a new way to live. He offers us living water. And he doesn't tell us that we need to hide our hurts and pains, that we need to hide our sin and our foibles and shortcomings. But instead, he calls us to run to him. To run to Jesus who sees us, who knows us, from whom nothing is hidden, and yet loves us. And this day, each day, we can choose to live in his way. And not only that, but God will use our stories like he did the woman at the well. He can use our stories for good. God can use the ways in which the devil intended for evil in our lives and bring about goodness. Just like God took the brokenness and wounds of the woman at the well and brought healing to her life and used her story for tremendous evangelism. God can use your story too. He can use those things, those stories and parts from your life that hurt, and he can use those to bring his love to others, to shine his light in others' lives. And so what else are we to do with this except for to run to Jesus, to come to him, to follow him, just like the woman at the well, to accept his love and mercy as a gift, to live according to his ways, to drink of the living waters, and then to share the love of Jesus with a lost and broken world. And so my prayer for you, as I depart from you, my prayer for each one of you, and this has been my prayer over the last year especially, is that you will fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, that you will keep your focus on Jesus, on his word, that you will take care of one another, that you will cast aside anything that holds you back from experiencing life abundant in Jesus, and that you will know his healing in your own life, and that you can share the living water that you have had with Jesus, that you can share that, that it will bubble up and overflow into the lives of those around you. It has been an honor to serve amongst you, to know you and love you. These last 3 years on staff and these last 6 years that we have been a part of Holy Cross. And I hope you know you go with my blessing, and I will save that final blessing for next week. So you better show up for that. But know that I love you and I go, that we depart with my blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.